It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation. An engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Here he is, and welcome to the program. Delighted to have you with us. A lot of good stuff to get to today. Exhilarating stuff from Mr. Scott Connor. Let's get to it.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
No sarcasm. I got to cut Scott back. You know, he needs to cut down from four packs of sarcasm a day.
Well, then I guess I'm done.
Then you're done. That's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, I'm going to loosen my tie here. And I'm ready for the full dose. Go ahead.
All right. Friday's market. I really want to get to the jobs number.
So I know you do.
We'll get there.
Friday's market. You read that whole report, didn't you?
I really did. And with glee as well.
You have like, there's like seven of you that out of the whole world that read that today.
Yeah. Obviously, most of the reporters on CNBC were not among those seven from the analysis that I saw. But it's okay. It's an important report. And we're going to break it down all the way from Finglish to English.
All right. Not yet, Lisa. Hold on. No. Lace is ready to get the button. Hold on. Go ahead, Scott.
Friday's market was pretty tame. The Dow was up 14 points. NASDAQ up 18. S&P up 5. Pretty good run on gold today on Friday. Crossed the 1,700 line again.
Why?
Up 16 points, 1,740. Oil up $1.107. I think most of it was a reaction to the official word that Greece defaulted on Friday.
Okay. So everybody knew it was coming, but the gold just... Oh, wait a minute. Things might not be good. This may be more ugliness, so gold goes up a little bit.
Yeah, we really didn't have any bad news on Friday's market, although I did think the whole Greece default thing was really kind of funny because, well, is it a default or isn't it a default? But if I loan you a dollar and you give me 40 cents back, then I'm going to think that's probably a default.
That would be generous. I thought they were taking like a 70-some percent haircut.
Yeah, it's rounding out to about 40 cents okay. or so. But I mean, it's, you know, it's a default, and they had to go through this whole thing about how many people participated in the bond swap and all these technical nonsense issues. Eventually, it turned into the fact that it was an actual default. So the interesting part is that it being deemed an official default means the credit default swaps are triggered.
Ah, that's good news for the people that are affected, right?
Yeah, the whole thing is, we could do a half hour on this thing. It's so
ridiculous. But the other folks that have to pay up are going, no, I don't. It's not really a default. We don't want to pay.
Right, but it's official now. It is a default. Now, the thing about it is that everybody was worried about these credit default swaps. All a credit default swap is it's insurance that says if Greece doesn't pay you back, then the company that you write the insurance policy with is going to pay you back for Greece, okay? Only $3.2 billion in credit default swaps.
Okay, that's not that much compared to what we're talking about, right?
Not at all, because for a while, remember, we're talking about $130 billion bailout payments, so it's really not that much. But for a while, we were thinking, well, is it $20 billion, $40 billion, $80 billion in credit default swaps?
And who took their 40% haircut? Would you say, is that mostly inside of Greece, or is it foreign banks?
Well, that's part of the interesting part, is that basically anybody who is a private sector bondholder, meaning not part of the Troika or the European Central Bank or somebody like that, was really, really strong-armed and forced to participate. There's a very small percentage of people that didn't participate who probably will get nothing. But basically, everybody who was not a central bank that held a Greek bond had to participate.
Because it makes me wonder, you know, how much of this is kind of centralized or internal versus it being banks and other institutions or investment companies that are in Europe or even in the United States.
It's all that stuff. And
it's everywhere.
And it's Greece's social security system, and it's a bunch of private pensions, and it's all that stuff.
Greece, debt, and default. Everywhere you want to be.
It's everywhere. But the funny thing to me about the whole thing was that about 6 or 8 months ago, hedge funds started buying Greek bonds like crazy.
Because they're going to turn a quick buck.
And they bought the credit default swap insurance. So they thought, well, we own enough of these bonds that if we say we're not participating, then they have to default and we have to get paid out. So it was basically a no-lose for them because they controlled the market.
So did that play out that way then?
Well, it did as of Friday.
So it did
the default.
Default swaps, and so they got so they bought the bonds at a discount.
Yeah,
and then
they got full.
Now they're going to get full payment,
about $3.2 billion worth. But the word on the street was that there was tons and tons and tons and tons of it, and it turns out there was only $3.2 billion. So it's not that.
So
big a deal.
So some people made a lot of money.
Yeah, and some insurance companies didn't get hurt as badly as they.
But
were
the insurance companies
to.
Still wrote checks, and they didn't want to have to do that.
That's right.
Well, now you know, ladies and gentlemen, what a credit default swap is. Use that at the next cocktail party and say, well, you know, I was talking to my broker about a credit default swap, and, you know, here's what I'm doing. You'll sound really good. People will be like, wow, you must know Scott Connor.
Well, perhaps I'll be at that cocktail party.
Now, that part, I believe.
And then when we come back, I want to talk to you about the employment situation summary and then a little look at the week ahead.
All right. You're right on cue. Thank you, Lisa. We'll be right back.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read. You'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, we're back, and we're going to break down those labor numbers. Hit it, Lisa.
Now it's time for a breakdown from Finglish to English.
All my life I've wanted to say, hit it, Lisa.
Well, there you go.
What power, what control. All
right. That's terrific.
Hit it, Scott. What do you got on the labor market?
Friday was the big expected February jobs report number. Everybody pays attention to the headline. So let's talk about the headline first. On the economic front, employers added 227,000 jobs last month.
That's good news.
Economists had expected about 210,000.
Oh, wow. That's good.
Okay.
So we exceeded the economist's expectation.
Yep.
Not an analyst, an economist. Economists, you can get over their numbers. Analysts, you never make them happy. Go ahead.
Okay. And unemployment rate held steady at a three-year low of 8.3%. That's what you'll see in the news journal. And that's pretty much it.
And that's because more people came out of the woodwork because they heard the job market was better. There's more people wanting a job. That's why it stayed at 8.3.
That's exactly right. Now, I want to break this report down for you a little bit and tell me if you sense a theme here.
Do you want us to play the intro again?
No, it's
okay.
Fine.
All right.
But the point is that your reaction to us beating the analyst expectation was, oh, terrific, right? That's good news. Okay, hang on. See if you see a theme here. number of unemployed persons at 12.8 million, essentially unchanged in February. Labor force and employment rate rose. Civilian labor force participation rate, 63.9%, essentially unchanged.
Okay.
The number of persons employed part-time for economic reasons, meaning they want a full-time job, but they have a part-time job, 8.1 million, essentially unchanged.
So where's my fudge?
Hang on. 2.6 million people marginally attached to the labor force compared to a year earlier, essentially unchanged.
What does that mean, marginally attached? That means that their spouse works? What does that mean?
That means they would like a job, but they're not going crazy looking for a job.
Okay.
And among the marginally attached, 1.1 million discouraged workers in February, about the same as a year earlier. Okay, so the point here is that the headline number on unemployment was, ooh, terrific, look what we did. And then if you break down and read the actual report, we did nothing.
Nothing changed.
Essentially unchanged.
So all of the, well, would it be fair to say that all of the jobs that got, quote unquote, the new jobs got sucked up mostly by people that entered the workforce?
Yeah.
Because we've got like 150,000 enter the workforce every month.
Yeah, we're
treading water.
We're treading water.
Even though
crazy.
You add a net 200 some odd thousand, you still have the people that have entered the workforce for the first time or have said, hey, things are looking better. Let me look for a job again.
That's right. So what that tells you is that even though we're creating 200 plus thousand jobs in the month,
it's not enough.
The unemployment rate did not move. So if a healthy economy is a 6% unemployment, we got to soak up all these people coming back into the job and then still continue to create jobs to actually get that number to where it's down in a meaningful way.
What's our total workforce? When you do the math, what's your civilian workforce that wants a job, the participation? What's the total workforce available? That would be the 60-some percent against the 150 or 160?
Yes.
So about almost 100 million people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure I have that number, but
well, anyway. So the bottom line is, we're treading water. We are soaking up the new population.
Yeah.
What impact is the baby boomers 10,000 retiring a day? What is that having? What kind of impact is
it,
that? That's
it
all
helps.
Part of that number.
They definitely are. They are leaving the participation rate when they retire. So it shrinks the job force, which should make it easier for the unemployment number to come down. So that does have an
impact.
So
that's in there, though. This big bubble of baby boomers that is moving through our demographic data
is
helping.
But they're not retiring. I mean, they're not retiring. They're too scared.
Well, and we're going to talk a little bit later in the program about retirement planning, as you, of course, you're expecting that, ladies and gentlemen. But we're going to talk a little bit about that. And those people, if they're going to a good planner, are getting cold, hard facts on the realities of retiring today. You aren't going to retire early. It's a lot harder than it used to be.
Yeah, and an extra year or two makes a big difference.
Oh, enormous difference.
Looking at the week ahead, just a handful of headlines we want to be aware of. Tuesday, we get a 10-year note auction, 10s above 2, almost all day today, 205 at one point.
What do you make of that?
I think it's money coming into the market. The market was pretty strong in the morning on Friday because the perception is that the Greece thing is behind us.
So the yield's going up because there's less pressure on buying treasuries, because people are getting a little bit more comfortable taking a little bit more risk.
Yeah, I think
okay.
So. FOMC meeting on Tuesday. Wednesday, we get a speech from Chairman Bernanke. Thursday, we have the weekly jobless games. I know you'll be interested in the PPI number Thursday as well as the CPI number on Friday. And if you want to, next week we can talk about quadruple witching on Friday.
Ooh. That's not where you dunk four witches at the same time, is it?
Yeah, it's actually really, really boring sort of statistical options trading.
Options puts
nonsense.
Barbells, dumbbells, yeah. Straddles, all that fun stuff.
But it sounds like fun.
Riveting.
Quadruple witching.
Yeah, I think that's cool. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more riveting information. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, you'll love what you see. Watch Real Money with David Holland, the TV show, Mondays at 12:30 p.m. on WESH Channel 2. What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we are back. Oh, wasn't that fun? That's good stuff. I love beating it up with Scott, looking at what's happening in the world. You know, that yield on the 10-year treasury, why does that matter? It's interesting because as the demand for safety wanes, what happens is the yields on 10-year treasuries go up because more people are buying things that are a little bit more risky, and the 10-year treasury, of course, is perceived to be the safest place in town. Speaking, though, of things that may or may not be safe, real quick, I've seen some stuff out. You know, when we see the markets do all the things they're doing, people start thinking about alternative investments. So this is some pretty top secret stuff that we need to talk about. And let me get right to it.
The following top secret message is ready for declassification.
Oh, is it? Is it so much? So alternative investments, what in the world was that? Is that where you say, forget it, I'll just take the money and I'll spend all of it over the next 10 years? Well, there's stories abound about alternative investments. Are they for you? What is that? Well, this is just almost funny. Okay, so the latest, I'll use the word gimmick, that's probably not fair, but I'm going to use it anyway, is that there are these alternative investments that you should consider, you the investing public, to invest in because, the good old stock and bond 60-40 allocation just didn't work for us this last couple of years. Well, let's just throw it out the window and let's bring in some alternative investments. What is an alternative investment? Listen to this. This is amazing. I got this article from Fidelity. They're Focus on Retirement. It's on Yahoo. Anyway, listen to this. This article written by Robert Powell, who I like his article sometimes. This one's amazing, though. Listen to this definition of what an alternative investment is. Ready for this? Long, short strategies involving going long and short, but not using any leverage, market neutral, long short-term strategy, emphasis on long, but shorts are closer to being even, merger arbitrage, high-yield bonds that have a dedicated short equity or bear position. Am I talking another language or what? So what these things are is this exotic stuff, which is supposed to be strategies that help you mitigate how much you are directly linked to how the market performs, but still have the opportunity to make money and protect you on the downside. And so what really struck me funny is it's like, wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with our old tried and true investment strategies. They work, but there's going to be times when the market pulls back. We have just passed the three-year mark for the current bull market. It is not going to last forever, and you should not have all your money in it. Stocks and bonds are just part of an overall portfolio. So you don't have to go seeking the grass being greener somewhere else. You don't have to go to something so exotic that I'm reading it to you, and it sounds like Portuguese. You don't have to look for that. You can stick with the stuff that works, and building a plan, you'll go a long way toward doing that. Stocks and bonds, mutual funds, building an annuity for income and guarantees and safety. All of those things are how you put a plan together. You don't need to seek the stuff that somebody actually sitting down explaining this to you, are you really going to understand this? And if you can't explain it to a friend or family member, you should never invest in it. So I saw that this week and I thought that was very interesting to share. What else? Oh, this is good. I got to tell you about this one. We talked about scams, and I got this email. This is funny. I got this email like the same right after I had done the radio show. Subject: email from to me, to my personal email account, BMW Lottery Department. That sounds pretty official. Sounds good. I'm like, okay, somebody's gonna pull up with a new car for me. I'll take one of those 750i's. In fact, they make one of those that is bulletproof. That's pretty cool. Run flat tires. I'll take one of those. Email says, this is to inform you, you've been selected for a prize of a brand new 2012 model BMW 7 Series. Hey, they got my car I was looking for. And a check of $1 million United States dollars. Yeah, it's a good thing they put that in there because I wouldn't have assumed they were talking about U.S. dollars. I would have thought Zimbabwean. So it's a good thing they clarified that for me. From international programs held, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I've been selected and I've got a security code and I've got to give them a call as quickly as possible. So this stuff, it just never goes away. And so you know what to do with that when you get it, right? You hit the trash button. All right. Now, I've got a special treat for you, ladies and gentlemen, today. We're going to be joined in the studio today by one of my associates in the office. And her name is Angel Pinkerton. And she is just dying to come on the show. But Lisa's giving me the sign we need to take a quick break. So I'm going to raise her adrenaline level just for a second. And we're going to take a quick break. Then we'll come back. And we're going to talk about some real-world planning and what goes on when we do work with clients. So stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back, and I'm super excited to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest. I've decided to offer a new benefit or a new service of Real Money with David Holland, that it won't just be David Holland, that I'll bring in some of my associates from the office because they've just been begging me to come on the show.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's Angel. Hey, Angel.
Hi, David.
There she is, making her debut. Now, Angel has been with Holland Financial for a little over a year, but you know, it feels like much longer.
Much longer.
And Angel, I brag on Angel all the time because Angel interviewed us. We didn't interview her. And she's got 20 years financial experience. That's good. I like that. And she is a certified financial planner, one of the few, the proud, the determined, 60,000 certified financial planners in the country. They make you take a two-day exam, lots of work. She's got that. And also, help me with this other one because I don't have this one.
It's the CRPC.
Okay, what's that stand for?
Chartered Retirement Planning counselor.
Okay, so you are ready to counsel people on their retirement
exactly.
planning. Okay. Yeah, you had a client point that out the other day, right?
I did.
David doesn't have that
David
one.
David doesn't have that one.
Okay, well.
That makes me feel really good, David.
Yes, well, that's good. I'm going to have to take a look. How hard is that one?
It's hard. It's very hard.
I'm going to have to look. Well, I wanted Angel to come on because, well, she's got a nice voice and you don't want to just hear me all the time. But I wanted her to talk with us a little bit about some of the real world planning and working with advisors. Because I talk, of course, preach to you all the time about the importance of planning and how you do it and what planning's all about. So she said she was willing to come on, but she wanted, and I haven't seen these questions. This is not Jeopardy. I have not seen the questions beforehand. And so she says she's going to interview me today, and I have not seen these questions. So this should be really good.
I hope it's good.
All right, well, fire away.
All right. Well, one of the things that attracted me to your firm when I first started,
Holland Financial, go ahead.
Was your planning process. So I would like you to describe to your listeners exactly what our process is.
All right.
So
that's
that
a good one.
They have a good understanding of what to expect.
That is a good one. I didn't know it was coming, but I'll swing at that one. The process, first of all, one of the things that I found necessary, I've been working with the financial stuff for 20 years, as you all know. One of the things that I found about financial planning and the software that's out there that is supposed to help advisors, I was not impressed. Have tried to use it and always found it to be a bit of a black box. Didn't really understand what went on inside. So over the years, I decided that it made more sense for us to build plans using Excel spreadsheets, just some spreadsheets, and build a plan so we know what's inside and how to make it, how changing something affects the plan. So our planning process, actually, one of the things that I know when we're talking to somebody and I'm listening to their individual situation, I know that I can accommodate each of those aspects of what they do into the plan. So if somebody says to us, and we've had this, I'm thinking of a particular client, you and I have worked together on, Angel, is that his particular situation, he knows that he has an inheritance that's going to come. He knows he's going to be selling a house. He may or not retire in the next 5 to 10 years. And he needs a plan that will be responsive to that. Something that we can build in these what if scenarios. And so the planning that we do, the process includes understanding what somebody's trying to accomplish, what they want to do, and also understand some of the things that make their situation unique. I've never seen two plans be the same. So this individuality is a big part of our planning. So much of the financial planning software and some of the stuff that's online for people, it's square peg into a round hole. So our process, I think the most important thing for people to know is that it's individualized. And so the process is in helping them get from where they are to where they want to be. Now, we have a process of interviewing them, and a lot of times they're talking with you or Shannon, the other associate advisor in my office, to get acquainted, tell them how we work, what we do, and then we get into that planning. Starts also first with that inspection analysis, which is understanding where they are before we get into where we think they need to go.
So that first appointment, whoever decides to come in, what can they expect that first appointment?
That's very good. I'll tell you what, first let me answer the question by saying what they won't get. They're not going to get somebody who treats them like a number. They're not going to have somebody treat them as, you know, give me your money, you know, that kind of attitude. They can expect you, both Angel and Shannon, to sit down and talk with them, understand their situation. They can expect it all to be extremely confidential. It's going to be professional. And it's going to be also understanding very clearly about what somebody's wanting to accomplish. So I think they can expect those things. The biggest thing we want to do is make sure that we not only help them understand the person who may want to hire us, understand how we work and what we do and how we're different, because not all planners and advisors are created equal. Not all of them have the same capabilities, staffing, support, planning capabilities, diversity of services, all those things that make each advisor different. And that is why I wrote the book, How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. As you know, Angel, it's people think, kind of put advisors sometimes mistakenly all in one big basket. And so I think it's a process where we get acquainted, we find out what they're looking for, we make sure it's something we can do. For example, if somebody says, I really want somebody just to place trades for me and I'm going to call you up every day and tell you what I want you to buy, that's not us. That's not what we're not a stock brokerish. We want input, but if somebody decides to have us manage your money, we're going to manage your money.
That sounds good.
That sounds really good
to
me,
really
right?
Good.
That's what we do. Well, Lisa's fanning me with her little fan that says 5 seconds. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk some more with Angel Pinkerton, certified financial planner, Holland Financial Associate Advisor. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back, and Angel has joined me, Holland Financial, certified financial planner, one of four certified financial planners here in my office. And we're taking a little approach, a different approach today on the show.
Thank you,
I know,
David.
You got another question.
I do have another question. Thank you for that explanation. But after that initial appointment, the associate advisor gathers the information. What happens after that point?
That's excellent. They huddle with me and the planning team, and we look at what the person's trying to accomplish. We analyze where they are right now, and we may come back and have another meeting and talk about what we see, or we may have enough information that we can then say, okay, here's some things that need to be corrected. Here's what's working. Here's what's not working. Here's what's good that doesn't need to change. Here's what does need to change in order to get them closer to their goals, either to help them achieve their goals better or get those things to be more consistent with what they need to accomplish. So what the next step is, and there's no charge, there's no obligation so far in this process. We get to that next meeting, we sit down with them, and now we present our analysis of where they are and then our recommendations on how to get better and further where they want to be. I want to retire in 2 years. Here's how you do it.
Has there ever been a situation where you just couldn't help somebody?
Yes, I think there will be times. And I think it's just a reality that we're people and sometimes we have unrealistic expectations. You know, you can't get, $20,000 a year out of a $100,000 account. Can't help. I think a more positive way of looking at it, though, is that I have had people come to me and I said, you know what? Based on what you're telling me, what you're doing is good. You don't need to change anything. Now, if you want us to take over managing it, we'll be happy to do that. But what you're doing is good. And I've had people I've met with where I've said, you know what? You don't need us yet. You need to take this money, pay off this loan, pay off this debt, and then you need to come back to us in a couple years. And I've done that. And it's kind of funny because people, they come back or they refer friends. It's a credibility or an integrity thing. I didn't try to get their money and manage it, even though I know they need to do something else with it.
Understood. How about the importance of planning ahead? Because there's many situations, and can you maybe describe a few situations that require planning ahead?
Well, I think the sooner the better. You know, it's kind of a cliche, but the sooner you start planning, the best day to start planning is yesterday. The reality is if somebody's, 50, I really would love for them to have a plan. But planning ahead, the beauty of planning ahead is stuff gets time to cook. It gives the investments, it gives the, if we're using an annuity that we know is going to compound, an income guarantee, that's the name of the game today. A lot of people want to know that they can have income. We can put some money into an annuity that we know will provide a guarantee of income at a specific date. Planning ahead lets us do that. If we wait and the opportunities to course correct is so much better. If we're planning 5 and 10 years out, that gives us the ability to make adjustments along the way, either to say, okay, guess what? Good news, you get to retire a little earlier. We met with somebody just recently where his plan is to retire in 15 years, but said, hey, love to retire sooner than that. But the other side of it is just because you're already retired doesn't mean you don't need to do retirement planning. That's really important for people to recognize because you can still plan ahead if you're retired. Planning ahead when you retire means you're planning ahead for those future years to make sure you're on the right track.
Well, thank you very much, David.
Look at that, Angel. It went quick, didn't it?
It did go quick.
All right. Well, we'll have Angel back. She did great, and she threw those softballs very well. But we will be back for another show, and we'll make sure she joins us. Okay. Thanks for being with us today.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.